From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Coming to a consensus about best practices in the COVID era has proven difficult time and time again, especially for schools. With the Omicron variant peaking in January, Illinois saw a slow and rough return to school last month after the winter holidays. The situation became even more complicated when a judge in Sangamon County granted a temporary restraining order prohibiting enforcement of mask requirements in schools. Filed on behalf of parents, the original complaint aimed to stop schools from requiring masks or excluding students from school based on whether they've been exposed to COVID. With Illinois set to lift the statewide indoor mask mandate by the end of the month, though that doesn't apply to schools, questions remain about what's next for the safety of children in schools in Illinois. Joining us to talk about his reporting on this is Dan Petrella, state government reporter for the Chicago Tribune. Dan, welcome back to The 21st.
Hi, Brian. Good to be back.
Also with us is Andrew Adams. He's working with the State Journal Register newspaper in Springfield as part of the public affairs reporting program at the University of Illinois Springfield. Andrew, welcome to The 21st. Good to have you with us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Listeners, we want to invite you to join our conversation as well, especially if you have school-age children in Illinois in your family. We'd love to hear your perspective. Should mask mandates, vaccination requirements, things like that, should that be enforced in schools? What's going on at the school in your area? Are you comfortable with it? We'd love to hear from you at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Or you can tweet us at 21st show. That's at 21st show. So Dan, can you just set us up from the post holiday break? Omicron was peaking. A lot of children weren't in school. The Chicago Teachers Union was, I don't know if I'd call it a strike or, you know, staging a work stoppage. What was happening then into this context?
Sure. So we saw cases rise to levels that they had not at any previous point in the pandemic. I think the seven-day average of new cases peaked in mid-January at about, somewhere in the 30,000 range, which was well beyond anything we had seen before. Hospitalizations likewise, peaked at over 7,000 people in the hospital per day for COVID. And this is not just people, going into the ER and getting sent home, but people's, filling hospital beds. And then within a couple of weeks, we sort of saw the curve start to bend fairly quickly. Actually, things started to come down. We're well below that at this point. But in schools, you had lots of teachers out sick. You had kids or teachers testing positive and people having to be sent home for quarantine. Districts not having enough teachers or subs to do in-person learning. So it was really just a lot of chaos coming out of the holiday break.
And what were the mask rules in schools? Can you remind us of that?
Yes. So since last summer, before the school year started for most people, masks have been required for everyone in schools, regardless of vaccination status. And so there was a lawsuit that challenged that. And a couple Fridays ago, a judge ruled that about 700 parents and staff members in 146 districts across the state didn't have to abide by those rules. She ruled that the governor had violated the law or didn't have the legal authority to issue those rules, was her determination.
And Andrew, I want to bring you in now, because that temporary restraining order from that judge, it wasn't just about masks, right? It also had to do with vaccinations and rules from the Department of Public Health. Can you talk about those aspects of the order?
Absolutely. The question of masks was really one element of the temporary restraining order, this TRO. It also banned the school districts named in these lawsuits from ordering people away from the buildings if they had been exposed to COVID-19, as well as barring school districts from requiring vaccination or weekly testing for teachers. Beyond that, it took emergency rules created by the Department of Public Health and State Board of Education, which kind of laid out the legal framework for all of these requirements and said that those rules were null and void. And interestingly, even for districts not named in these lawsuits, this is kind of throwing everything off, because the judge in the temporary restraining order said that those, even other districts need to, quote, govern themselves accordingly now that these emergency rules are nullified.
All right. And we're going to talk, because the state is fighting this order in court. Well, I want to come back to that a little bit later. But Dan, what has been the fallout across the state? Right. I saw one school, Hampshire High School, switch to e-learning to, quote unquote, avoid any disruptions from protests, urging schools to be mask optional. Or are we seeing this all over the state?
Yeah, I think chaos is pretty much the word for what's been going on. You know, that footnote that the judge ruled in really didn't give people a lot of direction, because she also denied class certification for the lawsuit. So sort of contradictory in many people's eyes, certainly in the eyes of the state. You know, you have protesters showing up at schools. My colleague Karen Ann Colota wrote a story on Friday about protesters at one school, and then kids getting off the bus making obscene gestures at people who were protesting against the mask rules. And, districts have just been kind of, their heads have been spinning. The governor is telling them to continue obeying the orders. It's just really a very difficult situation. You know, teachers in many schools are being told that kids should be wearing masks, but not to confront kids who aren't. It's really just been very disruptive over the last week plus now, and still no end in sight.
Yeah. Okay. Let me just take a moment to reintroduce our conversation this morning. This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about, as we've just heard, some of the chaos that has resulted in Illinois schools as a result of the governor long since had a standing order that masks are required for everyone in a school setting, as well as other congregate settings like healthcare and prisons, places like that. And even though the state's mask mandate is supposed to be ending at the end of this month, it will remain in place for congregate settings such as schools. Enter into that, a judge in central Illinois ruled on a lawsuit that the state doesn't have the authority to enforce that mask mandate. And as we said, there has been chaos as students, teachers, parents, school administrators are all on different sides of this issue. We're speaking about that with Dan Petrella, state government reporter at the Chicago Tribune, and Andrew Adams, who's working with the State Journal Register newspaper in Springfield. 800-222-9455 is the number. That's 800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation. So, Andrew, I understand some of the you're in Springfield. District 186 teachers were among the plaintiffs in one of these cases. What's been the situation like in the area?
Like Dan was saying, there's been some amount of chaos around the state, but in Springfield, it's mostly been people just trying their best to fit within the law and fit within this TRO. District representatives from Springfield and some of the smaller districts around Springfield have said that most people are still wearing masks, even if they're not required, or even if they aren't sure if they're required, most people are still choosing to wear masks, either out of concern for their health or concern for staying within the bounds of the law.
Interesting. You also reported on the response of the Illinois Education Association President Kathy Griffin. What did she have to say about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Kathy Griffin was very, very clear that she thinks this is a not beneficial for safety. She even went as far as to say that the restraining order may force schools to
Did we lose you? I think we lost Andrew's connection there. So, Dan, let me take you in a slightly different direction here. We're in the middle, you know, you're a state government reporter. That's my background as well. So I always think about how the politics of this play out. We're in the middle of a primary campaign for governor, especially heated on the Republican side. How is this, you know, the mask mandate in schools playing out there?
You know, it's been one of the most contentious political issues so far this year, and I'm sure will continue to be throughout, especially as we run up to the Republican primary for governor in June. You saw all five of the Republican candidates for governor attacking Pritzker for leaving the mask mandate in place for schools. It's going to be continuing to be a contentious issue. I think it's one where the Republicans feel like maybe they can make some inroads with voters in the Chicago suburbs who have been trending more Democratic, but maybe there are some of those sort of independents or, you know, Republicans who maybe were put off by some of the current direction of the Republican Party and voted Democratic recently, that they might be able to bring them back into the fold over some of this stuff with masks in schools. I think it's going to be an issue that we're going to be seeing and hearing a lot about over the next several months.
So what about the legal? Let's get back to the legal case here. There was this order out of the Sangamon County Circuit Court, the local county trial court, a couple of weeks ago, as you said. It was the state immediately appealed, right? What is the status of that case right now?
Well, like every other reporter who covers this stuff across the state, I've been hitting refresh on the 4th District Appellate Court's website several times a day over the last week or so. Still no word there. There was some time for each side to sort of exchange briefs and argue their case before the appellate court. What the governor's office, represented by the attorney general's office, is seeking to do is just have the higher court basically overturn the temporary restraining order that the judge issued in Sangamon County Circuit Court and just go back to what the status quo was before that ruling a couple Fridays ago.
You know, I can't. I'm about to ask you a question that I would hate to be asked as a reporter, but I'm the host now. So I know you can't speak for the court, but does it strike you that the appellate court is taking a long time to respond to this case? I mean, this was, you know, theoretically an emergency order out of the trial court, right? This is not like the case hadn't been fully, you know, gone before a jury or a bench trial. It was a restraining order. This is like an early in the trial process. Yet the appellate court is taking weeks to respond to this.
Yeah, this is where I go to the I'm not a lawyer, but yeah, sort of answer. You know, I was kind of expecting, you know, they'd be in there that following Saturday or at least Monday morning, kind of sorting things out. But, you know, I think this is just an example of courts moving at the speed that courts move. I am expecting, I don't know if that might be too strong a word, but would not be surprised if we saw some sort of determination this week. I don't have an exact idea of when that might be, but I think certainly there are school superintendents and principals and teachers and you know, parents all across the state who would like some clarity on this issue, and we just haven't gotten that yet.
Yeah, we'll just keep hitting Command R for refresh. Let me ask you about some of these protests that you said you and your colleagues have been, or maybe just your colleagues have been covering. Do you have a sense, especially these, you know, there have been some instances of students on both sides, right? Some wanting masks, some not wanting masks. Do we have the sense, are these students organizing themselves? Are their parents, you know, helping them organize? What's going on there?
You know, it seems like, and this is based more on my colleagues' reporting than my own observations, but it seems like a lot of this is parent-driven. One of the things that struck me in that story that I referenced earlier that my colleague published on Friday was she described a crew of masked teenagers getting off a bus at Glenbrook North High School up here in the north suburbs and giving the finger to grown-ups who were holding signs that said masks optional, court ruled. So it's just, it's very interesting. And obviously, I'm sure there are students who feel strongly against masks as well. But, you know, this has become such a divisive and politicized issue. I think, you know, kids do look to their parents and maybe they don't always agree with their parents. But, you know, obviously there are a lot of parents who feel very strongly about these issues.
Yeah. All right. So just about a minute left. You've also reported on the statewide mask mandate and the governor's announcement last week there. What do people need to know about that big picture wise, right? It's staying in place in schools. There are other settings it's staying in place.
Yes. So places that are required by federal rules, like public transportation, which is why even if the governor were to lift it in schools, they'd still have to wear them on school buses, hospitals, nursing homes, prisons, places where people live and in sort of, like you said, congregate settings earlier. But, you know, at grocery stores, restaurants, the places that most people go day to day, you will no longer be required to wear one as of February 28th.
Yeah. Although I don't know what your lived experience is like, but me being out in the world, I'm not eating in restaurants. I'm going to grocery stores and doing takeout still. But it seems like a lot of people have already sort of internalized what the governor is going to make official at the end of the month and thrown away their masks.
Yeah. You know, I was obviously I live in a different area of the state. I'm up in the west suburbs of Chicago, but saw a lot of people still with their masks on at the grocery store when I was there this weekend. So it'll be interesting to see in a couple of weeks what that's like if the state mandate really influences behavior or not.
All right. Dan Petrella, state government reporter for the Chicago Tribune. Thanks so much for being with us today on the 21st show.
Thanks, Brian. Good to be here.
And we also heard earlier from Andrew Adams, who's working with the State Journal Register as part of the public through the Public Affairs Reporting Program at the University of Illinois Springfield. More to come. Stay with us.